Mother's Day. Now, if you're like me, when you hear those words, it kind of has a special warmth to it. Mother's Day. And they kind of conjure up like that Norman Rockwell image. Does everybody know who Norman Rockwell was? Or some are like, I have no clue who you're talking about. Norman Rockwell was an artist, and you often saw his artwork on the front of the Saturday Evening Post, wasn't it? And he drew about life, simple life, country life. And you think about Norman Rockwell, and I always picture, you know, where there's a mother and a father and children and this cute little house with a white picket fence, and times are great. Everybody's happy. Everybody on Sunday morning goes to the little white frame church, you know, with the steeple, and basically things are great and everything is great in the world. Everybody lives happily ever after. And I thought about that image of Norman Rockwell and the picture of the family as it once was. And then I thought, well, is that true today? Do we still see that Norman Rockwell type of picture in our world today, in our culture today? And I would probably have to say, if I really look closely, that no, we don't see that exact same picture of a mom and a dad and children growing up in a home and a loving community, and oftentimes where children were taught about God and the Bible. We don't always see that today. I want to stress today, before I talk about mothers and Mother's Day, that God's plan for the home has never changed. It's always been the same. And God's plan is one man for one woman for life. That's always been God's ideal, and it still is today. One man for one man and one woman for life. And when you think about the world today and you think about the breakdown of our society, the breakdown of our culture, really, it's an attack on the family, because that family picture is not always what God intended. One man for one woman for life. When I grew up in the late 70s and 80s, I didn't know anybody that was divorced. You know, all my friends had a mom and a dad. I grew up in La Villa, Iowa, this safe little town where nobody locked their doors. You left your keys in your cars at night. We rode bikes all over the town, never a worry that things would be unsafe at all. And it was a happy time. It was a simple time. You know, I look back at my childhood and think, man, I was truly blessed. I grew up in this great little town, and I had a mom and a dad who loved me, who loved the Lord, taught me about Scripture. And again, I thought, is that true today? Do we still see that? And, you know, honestly, these last 3 years, as I went back into teaching, for the last 3 years as a teacher, I would have to say, no, that's not how things are today. You know, a lot of my kids have, you know, the first shock to me was my kids in my fourth grade class, you know, whatever their name is and last name, lots of times the mom or dad have totally different names. There might be two moms, there might be two dads, there might be single moms, there might be divorced parents. It's just, wow, you think things have sure changed a lot in our culture, in our society, in not really that many years. And again, the ideal family, God's plan, is still one man for one woman for life. You know, we know that that is God's plan. Divorce is never God's plan. We know, yet the reality today is divorce happens. And so we live in a world where it's not necessarily that Norman Rockwell picture anymore. Things have changed a little bit. And a lot of times we have single moms that have to work outside of the home out of necessity. And, you know, especially for our single moms who are trying to do everything that two parents would do. You know, they often work one, two, multiple jobs, take their kids everywhere, try to just make ends meet. And as I thought about Mother's Day today, it's a little different in our society. You know, it's in one sense, it's not that happy picture. When I think of Mother's Day, it's like, oh, man, I was so lucky. And then I think we have a lot of kids today that are growing up in a world where it's hard, and it's maybe Mother's Day is not a happy time because it reminds them of what maybe they're missing. So we're going to look at Mother's Day today, and I thought about, well, what should I preach about? Because typically on a Mother's Day message, you might hear a message about the woman in Proverbs 31, right? The godly mother, the godly wife. You might hear a message on Naomi or Ruth or Hannah, maybe even on Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus. But on this Mother's Day, I thought we would talk about someone who is seldom ever mentioned when you think of Mother's Day, and that person is Hagar. So we're going to look at Hagar, who in reality was a single mom in biblical times, and we're going to see what her life was like and what we can learn from her. We're going to see three things from Hagar's life. First is we're going to see the plight of many modern mothers. The plight of many modern mothers. Secondly, the fight of many modern mothers. And then thirdly, the might of many modern mothers. So we're going to be in Genesis 21 and verses 14 through 21. But before I have you stand, as I read that portion of Scripture, I thought I'd give you a little bit of background about who Hagar is, set up what's going on in this Scripture before we really dive into those verses. So, you can turn to Genesis 21, and we will start at verse 14. But before that, here's a little bit of background on Hagar. Hagar was an Egyptian girl who was a slave to Abraham and Sarah. It was Sarah's handmaid, you might say. It was Sarah's personal slave. So she was an Egyptian girl who was a slave. And you all know the story of Abraham and Sarah, right? God appeared to Abraham and promised him a son. He said that all the world's going to be blessed through you. You're going to have a son. So that was the good news. The bad news, 10 years go by and there's no son. And Sarah gets a little bit impatient. So Sarah takes matters into her own hands. And in Genesis 16, verse 2, Sarah says this to Abraham, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. He went in to Hagar, and wouldn't you know it, Hagar becomes pregnant. Okay, so that's the first part of the story. Now, also remember that even though that was somewhat commonly accepted as the culture of the time, if someone couldn't have a child, then it was not uncommon to have a child through another woman. But keep in mind, that was not God's plan. God's plan was one man, one woman for life. So, despite this adulterous situation, which was really of her own doing, because Sarah said to Abraham, "I want you to go in and sleep with my slave, Hagar, and maybe we can have children through them." Even though it was her idea, when Hagar becomes pregnant, Sarah gets very jealous. And Sarah starts to treat Hagar very harshly, very badly. And Hagar runs away. She runs away into the desert. But the angel of the Lord found Hagar and told her to return. Said, "Go back to your handmaiden, go back to Sarah." So she did. And of course, we know that later, Hagar bore a son to Abraham and named him Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. Ishmael means God hears. And that's important to remember. So they have a baby. Ishmael was born. And Abraham loved Ishmael. Even though it wasn't through his wife Sarah, he did love this boy. So now we fast forward about 14 years. 14 years go by from when Ishmael is born until when Isaac is born. So 14 years later, Sarah finally gives birth to Isaac, which we all know is the son of promise, right? The long-awaited son that they are going to, you know, bless the whole world through. But shortly after Isaac was weaned, Sarah sees Ishmael mocking and laughing at Isaac. So in Genesis 21:10, she says again to Abraham, "Therefore, Sarah," she said to Abraham, "drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac." That pretty much brings us up to speed. So now, if you found your place there in Genesis 21, would you please stand with me? And I'd like to read Genesis 21, verses 14 through 21. "So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him about a bow shot away, for she said, 'Do not let me see the boy die.' And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him.' Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness and became an archer. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt." Thank you. You may be seated. So the first thing we're going to look at is the plight of many modern mothers, and especially the plight of Hagar. Again, there in Genesis 21:14, really we see Hagar is hurting. She is hurting. It says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Hagar was hurting. Abraham sent her away, right? She was hurting. And when you think about it, she was the victim right here. This was nothing of her own doing. You know, it was not necessarily her own fault. She was a slave. And typically, a slave, you had to obey your master, right? You had to do what they said. And it wasn't her choice to go in and sleep with Abraham. That was Sarah's choice. So Sarah is the one that was impatient. It was the result of Abraham and Sarah's failure to trust in God. They should have trusted, as God said, I will bless you, you will have a child, but they got impatient, they didn't wait. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the custom of the day, that was pretty common. If a woman couldn't have a child, then often they would find a slave or a servant to go in and sleep with the husband so maybe they could have children through them. And you might think, well, if that was the custom, then that's okay. No, it was not okay. Remember, that's not God's plan. That didn't make it right. God's plan has always been one man for one woman for life. And that was still the plan today, and was the plan back then. So the first mistake, Abraham and Sarah should never have taken matters into their own hands. They should have never tried to bring about this promise that God promised on their own accord. So we look at this picture. Now she's hurting. She did what she was told to do, and now she's being sent away. And you think about that. I don't want you to think, I'm not saying Abraham is a bad, evil man, but he sinned, right? The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He did sin. And this was a tough choice for him because he didn't want to send Ishmael away. The Bible tells us that he loved Ishmael. But it does say that he sent her away. And you think about that. Those are tough words. Think about a mom, a young mother, who is being sent away, really of no fault of her own. Imagine how hurt she was. She knew what it felt like to be rejected. And so did Ishmael. You know, Ishmael loved his dad also. And I'm sure he probably was thinking, why is my dad doing this? Why is dad sending me away? And you know, you try to think about the culture today, and it's sad when you, for me as a teacher, you know, we often at our school, we do good things, especially on Monday mornings. I'll ask the kids, hey, do you guys have any good things to share? Or on Friday, I'll say, hey, what are some good things? And I've had one little girl for about 6 weeks in a row, every good thing is, I might get to see my dad this weekend. I might get to see my dad. And then every Monday, I didn't get to see my dad this weekend. It didn't work out. And I think, ugh, it's so sad when you think about some of these kids. They know what it feels like to be rejected. But here she is, Hagar, she's hurting. She knows what it's like to be rejected. She was sent away by the man that she was serving, you might say. So I can't help but think, wow, this is tough. Hagar was on her own, completely on her own. So the Bible says that Hagar departed and wandered in the wilderness or in the desert. She departed and wandered. She had no real direction. She was on her own completely. No one was there to help her. She just was sent to the desert. She had a skin of water and she had her son, and that's it. She was sent away. So really, she was wandering. She had no purpose in life. Talk about a tough situation. You know, that was the plight of Hagar. And again, I think about the plight of some of our modern mothers today. There are some moms that are in that same situation today. You know, maybe you know of a single mom who's hurting, who is wandering and needs a little help. And I think, you know, as the church today, we can't turn a blind eye to the fact that we do have some situations that are not ideal. You know, we don't always have one man for one woman for life that love the Lord and are in the church. No, we have a lot of people outside of the church that are hurting. So what could you do to help a mother that's in this situation today? So first of all, Hagar is hurting, but we also see that she's hungry and she's thirsty. In Genesis 21:15, it tells us when the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. So if it wasn't bad enough that she was hurting because Abraham just sent her away, now her resources have run out. Her supplies are gone. The water's gone. There's nothing left to do, right? Everything that she had is now gone. And remember, when the Bible says she wandered into the wilderness, probably a better translation is the desert. Because if you know the Middle East area, it's a desertous area. So she's wandering, and now she's hungry. Now she's thirsty. She has nothing. It says that she put Ishmael under a tree, and then she went off in a distance so that Ishmael could not see her. That's sad. You know, she knew their situation. She knew that they were close to death. There's no water. All their resources are gone. Imagine that single mom who doesn't want to see her son die. And so she goes off a distance. And again, think about that situation that she's in. She's thirsty. She's doesn't have any resources. What is she going to do? She's hopeless also. So we see that she's hurting. We see that she's hungry. She's thirsty. And now she's hopeless. Genesis 21:16 says, "Then she went and sat down opposite him," opposite of Ishmael, "about a bow shot away, for she said, 'Do not let me see the boy die.' And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept." That's quite the picture. You see this young mother who's been sent away on her own, only a skin of water and her son. That's it. Now the water's gone. And now they're at the situation where they're completely hopeless. There's nothing they can do. Ishmael is sitting under one tree. She's over here at a distance because she doesn't want him to see, and she doesn't want to see him, and this is just a bad situation. And again, I think to myself, wow, she goes off and she lifts up her voice and she weeps. And, you know, all of us at times have those moments when we weep, when we cry. And I was thinking, do you know of anybody this Mother's Day that you would say there's a mom that's hurting like that? There's a mom that has no resources, has nothing, and they feel all alone. Sometimes you just go into your bedroom, shut the door, and cry. And that's kind of where Hagar is right now. So God had allowed Hagar and her son to come to the point where they could no longer endure in their own strength. They were completely hopeless. So Hagar is hurting, she's hungry, and she's hopeless. Now that might be the end of the story, but luckily, it's not, right? We know that that's a pretty awful situation. That's a terrible plight to be in. But again, there are some mothers like that today. Maybe even in our own neighborhoods, maybe next door neighbors. I definitely know there's some mothers like that in the school where I work. And it's a sad thing that they have nothing anymore. So all she could do was really just sit down and cry. That's it. Secondly, though, we see the fight of many modern mothers. And we see this in verses 17 through 18. It says, "God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him.'" I love that. She's crying out to God. We hear now also that Ishmael is also crying out to God. And it says that God has heard their voices. God has heard. I love that. When sometimes you read the Bible and think, that's a silly question, because God knew exactly what Hagar is going through. But that first question, I just read that and thought, when the angel of the Lord said to her, "What's the matter with you, Hagar?" I'm sure she felt like, what's the matter with me? Don't you know what Abraham did? He kicked me out. I got nothing. My water's gone. I'm going to die. What do you mean? What's the matter with me? But then the angel of God says, "Do not fear, for God has heard the voice, has heard your voice." I love that. Those are comforting words. Those are the words she needed to hear. She's totally hopeless. She's hurting. She's hungry. She's hopeless. She has nothing. And then all of a sudden, she's got a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, right? She's got a little ray of hope she can hang on to. Well, the first question is, who was this angel of God? Because it tells us there that the angel of God appeared. Well, a big clue, whenever you see the angel of God in the Bible versus an angel of God, the angel of God is Jesus. It's a Christophany. It's an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. So this, the angel of God, is none other than Jesus who is speaking to her. And I love that. Jesus himself spoke to Hagar and comforted her. We see the same thing in the fiery furnace. Remember with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There were three men in the fire. And then all of a sudden there's a fourth man in the fire. That fourth man in the fire is the angel of the Lord, the angel of God. It was Jesus walking with them. So Jesus has a way of showing up when hope is almost gone. And that's exactly where Hagar is right now. She's hopeless. There's nothing she can do. She thinks they're going to die. The water's gone. What are they going to do? Now, it's interesting. When I first read that, it's interesting that it tells us that the Lord heard the prayers of Ishmael, right? It says, "Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." My first question was, well, did he not hear Hagar's voice? Well, of course, he heard Hagar's voice too. The last part of verse 16 says, "She sat down opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept." And I'm sure that when she's weeping, she's also pleading with God. What am I going to do? Lord, help me. I'm totally destitute now. I'm on my own. I'm hurting. I'm hungry. I'm hopeless. I've got nothing. And really, you know, sometimes that's the best place to be. She has nowhere to turn but to God, right? You know, I've always hated when people say, well, you know, I've tried everything. I guess all we can do now is pray. When you want to say, no, that should be the first thing you do. The first thing you should do is to pray. But I look at this picture and think of her that she's got nothing. She's on her own. She's out in the desert. Her water's gone. She's hungry. She's thirsty. She's hopeless. So she lifts up her voice and cries out. At least she does that. You know, she could have done that at the beginning, but she cries out to God and she hears, do not fear, for God has heard. I love that. God hears our prayers. Don't ever think God doesn't listen to your prayers. He knows. He knows what's going on before you even pray, but he does hear our prayers. In verse 18, the Lord told her, arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Lift up the lad. And I thought about how many moms today are struggling to just lift up their kids. You know, we have kids that need moms and dads that will lift them up, that will encourage them. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand. To me, that's just a beautiful picture. You know, when a child is hurting especially, you hold their hand. You lift them up. You walk beside them. You tell them that, you know, I'm here. It's not the end of the line. That I can hear and I'm here to lift you up. A lot of our kids feel worthless today, you know. Unfortunately, we have a lot of parents that tell their kids that they're worthless. And if a child hears that long enough, what are they going to believe? That they're worthless, right? Some of them have heard it so much they believe it. So I love that picture where Hagar lifts him up by the hand. They're in the worst possible situation. They're both facing death. They're in the desert with no water. And she lifts him up by the hand. So for us today, that's one of the most important things I can encourage you. Make sure you lift up your children. Even if they're older now and out of the house, lift them up. Lift them up in prayer. Be there. Help them when you can. You know, that's what a parent does. It's not like, oh, they're 18 now. They're on their own. They're gone. No. I have a daughter who's almost 19 and a son who's 21. And guess what? You still need to lift them up and help them once in a while. Because that's what parents do. We lift up our kids. We help them. Next, we see that not only does she lift him up, but now she's there with him, right? She's going to encourage him. She's going to walk with him. She's going to lead by example. And I think that's so important. A lot of kids feel worthless because they don't have good examples in their life. And maybe they have parents that have told them that they're worthless. So we need to make sure as parents that we are the good example that they need. I found this quote, and you've probably heard it before, but if you look behind some of the what we consider the greatest people today, or even from history, those that we want to consider examples, often behind those people are parents that had a huge impact in their life as well. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I love that. You know, people often consider Abraham Lincoln to be one of, if not the greatest, one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. And he, in his own words, he said that all that I am or all I hope to be, I owe to my mother. His mother had a huge impact in his life. So, modern moms today, I think a lot of them are in the same fight that Hagar was in. Hagar was hurting. She was hungry. She was hopeless. And we see that she's an example we can look to because she lifts up her boy by the hand. So, again, there's millions, I think, of children in the world today who are just waiting to find that godly mom or godly dad that will be the example for them, that will lift them up, that'll fight for them. The third thing we see is the might of many modern mothers. And that's in verses 19 through 21. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. God was with the lad, and he grew. And he lived in the wilderness and became an archer. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. I love that. Verse 19, we see Hagar's provision. First, God, the angel of God, appears to her and tells her, do not fear. And now, God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. I like that. She saw a well of water. What's the most important thing in the desert? Water. And you think about, Abraham gave her a skin of water, a bag of water. What did God give her? A well. God gave her a well of water. God opened her eyes. And that well, you know, it's not like it just appeared. Was that well there the whole time? Yeah. But God had to open her eyes so she could see that there was help there. She was so grief-stricken, she was so hopeless, she didn't even see the well. But it wasn't until God opened her eyes and she saw the well that finally there was the answer, there was the provision. That well was right there. And I think about that, you know, that there's a lot of people who are just like Hagar, a lot of moms, single moms that are wandering, that no direction. And there's a well of eternal life just right there if they would just cry out to God for it. Sometimes we have to show them the way. You know, maybe you have a chance, if you know someone, especially a single mom who's hurting in this situation, well, help them out. Go to them. Help them in any way you can. And then make sure you share scripture, because what they really need is salvation. I mean, we should meet their needs if we can, but they really need salvation. I always think it's no mystery or no surprise that when Jesus was always preaching, right? He was preaching about salvation. But what did he often do first before he met spiritual needs? He met people's physical needs, right? He fed the masses. He fed them with loaves and fish. He met their physical needs first, and then he gave them the spiritual food that they needed. And I think that's so important for us today, because we're good sometimes as, well, I'll pray for that person. That's great, but if you can go out and help them and meet a physical need, then do it, right? Meet their physical needs if you can first, because then they're more than likely going to be more receptive to the gospel when you have a chance to present it. So don't miss the chance to meet a person's need if you can. Now, the other thing I like about this, not only did God open her eyes, but now she had to do something, right? She couldn't just say, oh, there's a well. She really had to do three things. She had to get up, go over to the well, and fill up the skin of water. She had to take some herself, and then she had to go give the water to her son Ishmael. She had to act, right? She couldn't just, oh, there's a well. She had to get up and move. And so I think that's important for us too, that we have to try to not only help moms if we can, those that are hurting, but then we have to encourage them to act and to seek the help. You know, it's when I talk to sometimes some of the parents that I have at school or the single moms, sometimes you try to help and it seems like they don't want the help, or maybe they don't know what to do. So we have to encourage them to, here's what you need to do. I'm offering you some help here. So she had to get up and act. She couldn't just see the well. She had to go fill water, drink some herself, and give it to her son. If you look at verse 20, I love that. It says, God was with the lad and he grew. God was with the lad and he grew. So she went from being totally hopeless that, what am I going to do? I've got no water. This is the end. And now God was with the lad and he grew. Hagar held on to that promise, right? That God would make Ishmael into a great nation. And we know that he did just that. He made Ishmael into a great nation. Hagar may have been a single mother, but she had help in raising her son. She had God. God was the one that showed her the well. God was the one that blessed Ishmael and made him into a great nation. One last thing that I think is really interesting. Again, think about the fact that when Ishmael was 14 or 15 years old, that's when Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away, sent them out into the desert all by themselves. When in Genesis 25, verse 9, we have the record of when Abraham dies. And the Bible records that Isaac and Ishmael buried their father together. And I thought about that and thought, wow, if my dad had kicked me out and I was just gone, would I have been able to do that? Sometimes I know we rightly sometimes say that Ishmael was, well, you know, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac's a son of promise. Ishmael was not. He still had enough respect for his dad to go back when his dad died and bury him with his brother Isaac. I thought that was just amazing when you think about that, that he still went back and helped bury his father. So, on this Mother's Day, a few things we can kind of close with and think about. First is that God's plan is still one man for one woman for life. That's still God's ideal plan, right? We should thank him for the home, and we know that the greatest attack Satan has on the world today is to attack the home. If Satan can split homes apart and split men and women apart, he can wreak havoc in all kinds of areas. That's one of the fastest ways to affect a whole generation or kids that grow up without a mom or without a dad or without parents that love them. So the home is still the hope of America. And it's still God's plan. One man, one woman for life. Don't ever forget that. But let's also remember that there's a lot of hurting moms out there. There's a lot of single moms that are hurting. And we should not just turn a blind eye to that. We should help. If we can possibly help, we should help. So encourage our moms today. Encourage our mothers, especially those single mothers. Encourage them because it's hard. It's very hard. The story of Hagar is full of God's goodness, really. And we can learn a lot from Hagar's life. Think about that. She was a nobody. She was just a foreign slave girl. In the world's eyes, she was a nobody. And yet, God heard her prayer, saw her in her distress, in her need. He provided for her. He blessed her son. So God was still with her. And I think her story really reminds us that no matter who we are, no matter where we are, God still sees and hears what's going on in our lives. I don't know if you have people that you know that like this, the single mom that are hurting and need a little help, but we should help them if we can. We need to try to meet that need. So God is still the God who cares. He's still the God who hears. And I thought it would just be neat because I thought, well, what are we going to talk about today? All these godly mothers in the Bible. I've never heard a message about Hagar on Mother's Day, and I thought we can learn a lot from her. There's a mother that was in a terrible situation. She was hurting. She was hungry. She was hopeless. But she cried out to God, and God heard her prayer, and God changed her life. But she had to call out to Him. So if you know of any moms today that are hurting, especially single moms, see if you can meet a need. See if you can just go visit them and see how they are. And who knows, maybe they have something you can help them with. I don't know. At the very least, we need to lift up all of our moms, but especially our single moms who might be in the same situation that Hagar was in. Let's pray this morning.